Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean. And we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
On Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean.
And I just almost took a tumble as my chair dropped to the floor. We're kicking into high gear in my healthy start to my week, Rach.
You're getting so healthy that you're just doing extra active exercise.
It's all about
the squats.
All about the squats. Now, opening last week to rave reviews, a dynamite time-travelling comedy has rocketed into Melbourne with two of Australia's funniest actors, Louise Severson and Peter Horton, at the helm, creating a show for the ages with Underneath Miss Archer. A 21st century woman slams face-to-face with a medieval man in a culture war that takes no prisoners. And they're both here with us today on the show.
They are.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So the show opened last week. How are you feeling about your week post-first show extravaganza?
I'm so tired. I'm too old for this. We're producing independently, so we're doing everything.
Everything.
We wrote it together. We're both acting in it. I directed it. We're both producing it. So we love doing the show, but we loved having a day off yesterday. That was very nice.
Did you sleep for 12 hours?
I wish I had.
Dean had to do that.
It's been a long Pride Month for me. I kind of hit collapsing point and had a big 12-hour sleep, which is why I'm looking, and then nearly fell off my chair. Yeah. So, I mean, opening week is a pretty big week. There's a lot going on. That rest is nice. Mm. But look at you. You're back at it again. It's Monday morning. You're here. Time to get the promo back on for the show.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Underneath Miss Archer. I've given that little bit of a tease, but it still doesn't really tell you much other than it sounds like a bit of a fun juxtaposition.
It is. The whole premise really is that this flight attendant played by Lou, Kelly Archer, is on a long-haul flight from Perth to London. And for reasons unknown, at the beginning of the play, she hits a passenger.
Just a good
hefty hit.
We've all been there, though. We've all wanted to.
We don't know why. And so our play opens on Kelly running into her mother's apartment, and her mother passed away a year ago before the show's beginning, this empty apartment, which is quite ghostly, and there's the ruins of a dinner on the table that was set for two people. We don't know why or who it was for. And she hides there trying to avoid the inevitable Twitter storm that follows, of course, because someone's filmed it on the plane, right?
Of course.
And done a thing called flight attendant mash up.
Oh, wow.
Which has gone viral. And so she's in there literally on her knees kind of begging the universe for some sort of solution to this problem of her own making. And in comes somebody, take over
from the past, so she calls out to the universe, but really she's calling out to her mother at this point, but in a way calling out to the universe, and into the apartment through various means comes a gentleman not of this time.
Yes.
Ooh.
That we discover is from a time 800 years prior. So she's calling on the ancestral help.
Okay, this is even more interesting now that you've broken it down.
It's weird, isn't it?
So it absolutely is. Now, you did mention you've both, this is a joint venture, produced it, written it, worked on it in all these ways. Mm. How did you come up with an idea like this?
We were under pressure for an idea, basically.
It was quick. It was super quick. I mean, basically Lou approached the theatre company about the possibility of a commission and then rang me and said, I've got this possibility of a commission. I went, oh, great, when's it due? Like 3 days. I've told them that I've already written the idea. We hadn't. That was a lie.
All good theatre shows. Yeah.
They do say diamonds are formed under pressure.
Exactly. This is it.
This show is clearly a diamond. We are going to find out more about it right after this. You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean.
Joy.
And we are talking to the creative forces behind Underneath Miss Archer. Louise and Peter are in the studio.
Now, that was very interesting. We touched off where, under pressure and working under pressure and suddenly creating a show, being told, are you working on something? And you're like, yeah, you have a deadline in 3 days and this is how this creation was formed.
Yeah.
Now, when did this start? Because we've had a pretty crazy and turbulent couple of years, and the scenario of this play is also sounds like that's under a lot of pressure as well.
Yes.
So when did this working process start for the two of you?
It was the very end of 2019, but we sort of really kicked in 2020. But then, of course, as we all know, the world changed at that point. So, and we were meant to do the show at various points along the way, but that was interfered with too. So finally we're here.
Did that play to the pressure of the character, like your character's experience of slapping someone? Did that pressure over the past couple of years and things that changed and differ factor into the intent or not at all?
Well, certainly, I mean, at that period, if you think back, I mean, the pandemic.
It's hard to think back now. Well,
I don't want to. But it was such a kind of supercharged few years in so many ways. I mean, politically, that was the height of the kind of American madness sort of thing. There was and of course we were all cooped up. So, you know, writing our first draft, I can't remember, correct me here, Lou, was written in lockdown, is that right?
Yep.
Or through the lockdown period?
Yep.
So that was a lot of Zooming.
We were doing
backwards
Zooming.
And forwards and stuff like
Which
that.
It's an interesting way to write.
Yeah, and there was kind of, so the world seemed to have gone crazy, although it's hard to know because I was in the bedroom. I'm not sure what was going on exactly within my 5 kilometres, of course. So the pressure cooker kind of nature of that time was useful for the play, I think, and because we were writing about someone who was confined in a basement on her own.
And couldn't leave.
You know, yeah. He was sort of confined to, so
which
the
is
kind
weird.
Of, yeah, the cabin fever was definitely useful vibe, I think.
I'm kind of loving seeing the creative forces that have come out of that.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting
Absolutely.
To see them evolve and push through.
Yeah. And now I need to ask, during your cabin fever period of being locked down, did any medieval people visit
you
in your
Many.
Apartment?
Well, the first, I mean, without giving too much away, my character for the first 10 minutes of the play actually speaks Old English, which is a dead language, right? It's kind of like an ancient form of the Germanic language. So when I come in, she thinks she doesn't know what I am. I'm covered in mud and crap. So she thinks I'm, you know, some person who's been hiding in the apartment speaking this language, which sounds a little bit like Latvian, Polish, Northern European. So there's a lot of, you know, mistaken identity, fish out of water comedy at the start as well. But of course, walking around the house trying to learn Old English, it's a cabin feverish sort of.
I mean, trying to understand it, which is an interesting thing. Being on stage with your partner and you don't know what they're actually saying.
When I was in lockdown, I'm sure there was a point that I was speaking tongues, but that was probably later. And a few other things.
Yeah.
So this is pretty interesting. You've got different characters from different time periods, and it's a nice juxtaposition in the show. Did you think about trying different decades or different centuries for the characters when you were playing with them? Were there any other time periods that maybe came into play, or were these kind of cemented with what you brought forth?
Well,
I think we went straight to that period for you. I mean, we were putting Kelly, my character, now, and I desperately wanted to play a flight attendant. Don't ask me why, I just
it's
did.
It's good outfits.
Fabulous outfits.
Yeah. Good hats, unusual hats.
And the hats are fabulous.
Good
so
styling.
I wanted that. Yeah. And so we hadn't really perceived that we would be in a time travel situation, but as it happened, it was perfect because she's travelling through time as well.
Yes. Well, I suppose my character, we literally went, oh, it would be funny if, because of the cliche, of course, of the knight in shining armour, although my armour is not very shiny. I can't explain why, but you'll see when you come. We just literally Googled, you know, most famous knight from history, and this character came up called William Marshall, who was the guy who ushered in Magna Carta and, you know, all this kind of stuff. He was a very famous sort of figure in his time who I'd never heard of.
And a very courageous figure.
Yeah, so he just basically stuck a dart in the board and went, that guy.
That's the
one. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. You know what I love? All these questions are coming to my mind that I want to ask, but they give away, they might or might not give away things
that's
in the play, so I'm going to have to see it.
Yeah.
I've got so many thoughts ticking around in my mind.
Yeah, and the kind of, I mean, the sort of culture war reference for us was sort of saying, well, you know, there's an argument in the play between, you know, past and present. Basically, he's a medieval knight who, you know, some of his values you may find
offensive,
antique. But the real culture war, of course, in the play really is inside Kelly, because she's done something wrong and she's trying to play. I mean, I don't want to diss your character, Lou, but yeah, she's trying to play every excuse in the book really to avoid the fact
the
of what she did. Yeah, so she's sort of torn internally really between the truth and a lie, and that's the kind of that's what we're sort of exploring really in general with the players, the idea of, you know, the old-fashioned idea, I suppose, of telling the truth, really, you know.
I guess I wonder, the more things change, do they stay the same no matter what time period you're
in? Some things have changed for the better, I'd have to say.
Yeah.
when I researched the medieval period, it was like, don't do any research.
I mean, but also researching medicine. That during lockdown is where I'm thinking. Yeah. Oh, God.
The horrors.
Well, one of the medieval medical treatments that sticks in mind was the cure for constipation, which was eating red clay from the Middle East.
Delightful. Look,
I've just started Weet-Bix today and I'm on a healthy diet, so let's not get
segue to Weet-Bix.
Don't add the red clay to it.
Look, product placement.
The premise of the play seems like the question, the old question, can we come back from a mistake?
Yeah.
Do you think we can?
Absolutely.
Well, yes, I think. I mean, absolutely. I think we have to blur. It depends on the mistake. Of course, there are some that are damn hard to come back from, but as a general principle, I think we have to forgive each other, but also ourselves, of course. I mean, the hardest, the person who almost always holds out on our forgiveness in some, even subconscious way, I think is, I mean, I'm always harder on myself than anybody else is, I think. Same. Probably. We
all are, I think.
Yeah. And I've avoided things in my life, avoided people in my life because of something I did or didn't do and thought I should have. And have let those things fester for ages and then gone back and tried to fix it later, and it's all, you know, but you do have to forgive yourself for that, I think.
Human nature is a really interesting thing, isn't it? These are all emotions that we all have, things we all understand. We're sitting here talking about a play about one character in the now, one character in the medieval times, but the themes resonate with all of us.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah. Well, Underneath Miss Archer plays is... It's playing until the 16th of July at the Irene Mitchell Studio in South Yarra. Peter and Louise, thank you so much for joining us on Joy Brekkie this morning. It sounds like a great time to be had. You are with Rach and Dean on Joy Breakfast. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.